We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome to the PHNX D-backs podcast right here on PHNX. My name is Derek Montilla, known around these parts officially as the mayor of PHNX. And of course, we are thrilled to have you guys here, and we are brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Go download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use our code of PHNX, and simply for betting $5 on any NFL team to win, you will get $200 in free bets instantly as long as that team gets the job done. And I have faith in our Arizona Cardinals, but as far as betting on them, I'm not sure if I would stake my $200 in free bets on this particular Thursday night game. So, if you might maybe want to find a little bit more of a sure thing, I might recommend going in that direction. Jesse Friedman is still not here. I have no idea where he is. I don't know what he's doing. He's just left me, and I am doing my best to just talk to people that I like to talk to when Jesse's not here. So today I am joined by my friend, my pal. It's Daryl Johnson, Arizona Diamondbacks historian. Not official, but that's what I'm calling you from now on, because you know more at times about Arizona Diamondbacks than most people I know, simply because you've experienced so much of it.
Well, that's very kind of you to say, but before we get into all that, I just want to say that you and I, we got beef.
Oh, let's hear it. What's going on?
All right, so it's one thing that you start the podcast with hello and welcome, and you finish with remember that. Kids. I can't claim ownership of hello and welcome, but yesterday, yesterday you play a game called Murdered Murderer or Murmurer. Without even mentioning Roman, Rowan, Strowman, or Owens?
I tell everybody about that game.
About Mickey, Nicky, Becky, or Shecky? Come on. I know.
Daryl over here is our resident game master at over at our pro wrestling podcast that I'm going to, plug right now, thesteelcage.com. Daryl has been not only instrumental in my podcasting career, but he is by far the best podcast game host that there is in the land, folks, in the land. I'm not just talking about just recreationally at an amateur level. I'm talking about number one ranked pro status as far as games are concerned. And this offseason, we got to get you to come in here and show the people what you can do as far as some of the games. I can't wait to probably get completely destroyed by Jesse in anything involving knowledge in any way, shape, or form. But hopefully I can get him on one of those type games, you know?
Yeah, well, I just saw a golden opportunity to accuse you rightfully of gimmick infringement, and I had to take it.
Yeah. I will 100% confess to it. I steal everything from Daryl over here. So I have no problem admitting it, because again, you're such a great podcast host, and I've always enjoyed doing these shows with you. Most importantly, I've enjoyed talking baseball with you. You are my most knowledgeable baseball friend, and I know that you've been watching the World Series, as have I. We had a very intriguing Game 1. I don't think, well, I guess historically it went the way that you would think for it to go, but man, did we have some drama in Game 1.
Yeah, it was a very exciting, interesting game that lasted 4.5 hours and was decided after 3 pitches.
Yeah, man, baseball's too long, isn't it?
It's just ridiculous. Well, Soler hits that home run on the 3rd pitch of the game, and I know it's completely illogical, but this is the kind of baseball fan I am. I thought, oh man, there's no way Houston's going to recover from that.
That was a solo shot, right?
It was 1-0. Yeah, it was 1-0. Yeah. But of course, they scored 5 in the first 2 innings and never looked back. So I was kind of right.
You were. And at times, I know exactly what you're talking about, because it's the way I feel about the Diamondbacks, especially this past season, right? There was just something about it that I've been present when the team would put up a fight, and when I didn't have the same feeling of, I guess, lethargy when it came to them mounting a comeback or whatever. It seemed like this Arizona Diamondbacks team, the minute that it got behind, the air was let out of their balloon. They were done. And it seemed like there was no hope. Now, mind you, they only won, a handful of games. So it's not like I can really say I saw a lot of wins in any way this 52. Season.
52.
Yeah.
52. 52. Wins.
Yeah. But I will say that they had that same thing of what you're referencing, right? Just that kind of sense of once the opposing team got ahead, it was over. And I know what you're saying, that the Astros in the entire history, or at least of them going to the World Series as of late, are 0-4 in game ones of the World Series. So obviously the Astros did what they do in these games. But I think the biggest story for me was Charlie Morton breaking his leg and still striking out 2 batters.
I don't even know when or how it happened, because I guess it was
on the comebacker.
Yeah, I was. Oh, so it was a batted ball that got him.
Yeah, I guess. Okay. Well, that's what they're saying. I mean, at the time, that was where the injury problem started, and then he got 2 more outs before exiting the game.
Okay, yeah, because I just went back to the last pitch he had. It was just like, okay, well, he's hurting. I guess you can break your leg throwing a ball. Must have twisted himself up real fierce there.
Yeah. Definitely.
But that's pretty impressive.
It's legendary to think that this man might have gotten 3 outs with a broken leg in the World Series. I mean, that just puts him right up. Obviously, if this happened in any baseball game at any time, it would be some crazy shit. But for it to happen in the World Series, I think moves it up, It's devastating to the Braves, who have had so many of their star, and I mean their top star players, go down this season due to injury. But the Astros have experienced the same thing. I think all the teams in the playoffs went through this with not just injuries, but major injuries to a big part of their rotation and their lineup.
Yeah, but it's been just that sort of year for the Braves, a next guy up kind of mentality, where whoever they got, whoever they can grab, is going to contribute, and their bullpen held on to that game the whole way.
Yeah, and their bullpen has been incredible. And to be honest, I'm pretty impressed with what the Astros have continued to do as well. I don't, obviously they won the first game, but I think when I look at what the Astros have gone through and the way that they've had that same next man step up mentality in the playoffs as well with their starting rotation and such, it's pretty incredible what these teams are able to do. I mean, obviously I'm a team for that reason, but man, it's incredible that they are getting so many people to step up in the absence of these stars.
Yeah. I'm just kind of jealous and mad that I can see, 4 different middle relievers for Atlanta come out and just pitch lights out baseball. I didn't think these pitchers existed. But here's Tyler Matzik throwing 98 mile an hour fastballs and these slow curves that go like 83 or something like that. Middle relievers that do that.
Not to mention the fact that, when you look at the Arizona Diamondbacks rotation and how little they were able to get out of pitchers, I mean, like, I really like, I think his name is Brent Strom, the pitching coach for the Astros. I like listening to him. The guy just sounds like a teacher. You know what I mean? It doesn't sound like you're listening to someone who's a coach or who knows more than you. He just sounded like an excellent mentor, and I can only imagine being a young player under a guy like this. He definitely seemed very patient and very knowledgeable, but he didn't seem to come off as a coach. He definitely mm-hmm. came off as more of a mentor. And at times, I think that's something the Arizona Diamondbacks need out of a pitching coach. You know, they have so many young guys coming up. They're going to need somebody that's more of a mentor and a teacher rather than being a coach. I'm not sure if Matt Hergis is the right man for the job. I don't think he was. I think that his past makes me question even making him a coach. You know, some of the connections he had to scandals and such. I just don't know if that's the best option when it comes to a mentor over, you know, the future of this ball club. But again, that's just because I'm always thinking about the Arizona Diamondbacks at all times and how everything is about them. Braves, interestingly enough, have the worst winning percentage tied for the worst winning percentage of any team that has won game one more than once in the playoffs. They've gone 2-4 after winning game one over the last couple of series.
How does that work?
So basically the Braves have, you know, they've only gone 2-4 after winning game one, which is really weird. But now that's because it's in this playoffs. That's in this playoffs. They won the game one because they won game one in the last series and they won game one in this series. So it's basically the fact that after game one, the Braves tend to let the opposing team back into it.
Do you mean that's just in game two? Because the Braves won their previous series.
Yes. No. I'm just saying, well, they've only won two game ones. So this is more of the entire playoffs because they've had this is their third series. So they're really just counting this game one. They've only won one other game one, but these are what Jesse would call Derek's ridiculous stats because it's such a small sample size that it's really meaningless. But basically, it bodes well for the Astros to come back into it because the Braves have in the series they have jumped out to an early lead, but they have let the opposing teams get back into these.
I'm with the hypothetical Jesse that stat means almost nothing.
It means nothing.
But
How about this one? The Astros right-handers last night, Altuve, Bregman, and Correa were 0-12 with 6 strikeouts. Those are their guys, right?
Well, that's just interesting. A bad day for them, a good pitching day for Atlanta. I mean, but going back to what you were saying about how things might bode well for the Astros based on that weird stat. I expect them to come back and win tonight, most likely, just because, I mean, Houston's a tough place to play in, and I'm sure the Braves, even if they lose game two, to head back to Atlanta, splitting the series, still have it, or, you know, basically, they've taken home field advantage now.
Correct.
I'm sure that would be acceptable to both teams. Yes. Although, personally, I'd like to see Atlanta just run the table.
Yeah. Nobody likes Houston outside of Houston, I feel like. And I mean, rightfully so. I find it interesting, but I'm not surprised at all in any way that Houston is going to continue to wear this scarlet letter of sort, you know, this reputation hit for a long time, no matter what they do.
Let's focus on the negative, though. Let's focus on the positive. Everyone's grandma was a Braves fan back in the 90s because of TBS.
True. That's right. Even we were before we had a team. I know I was. I watched them because they were good and because, yes, I got them on my TV all the time. So, by the way, the Astros have an early lead now in the first, up 1-0 on the Braves in tonight's game. So, it's over. As far as Darryl Johnson's logic is concerned, it's over. The Braves were 1.5 run favorites in this one. So, again, pretty close. If you jump on the DraftKings Sportsbook, you can once again use our code of PHNX, and you will get that $200 in free bets if you bet $5 on any NFL team and they win their game. You can also bet on anything you want, including the World Series. With your $200 in free bets or with whatever money you want to jump on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Obviously, we love them. That app is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can withdraw your money or deposit whenever you want. And you can bet live in-game. You can get same-game parlays in this weekend's NFL games. I'm all over those same-game parlays. I rather enjoy it. In fact, my friends want to take the DraftKings Sportsbook app away from me. Daryl can attest to that in our group chats. But I'm not going to let them. I enjoy the DraftKings Sportsbook app very much so.
The Braves are favored by 1.5 at the first pitch in this game?
No, the Astros. I apologize. The Astros were Astros were favored by 1.5.
Okay. I was thinking, man, they really take momentum into account at DraftKings.
Our friend Mike Farron says that momentum isn't real when it comes to baseball. It's really just how good your next starting pitcher is, and I really like that. But again, this is one of the things that both of these teams are going to have to deal with. The Astros, at the very least, have had that adversity first already, and they've kind of had to deal with it to get to this point. They've played some very good teams, so it's going to be interesting to see how the Astros respond and how this series goes. I hope it goes to 7. That's I know
you just want more baseball.
I just want more baseball. That's all I want. I just want more baseball.
Yeah.
Remember that code again on DraftKings is PHNX, 21 and over only, Arizona only. Gambling problem, dial 1-800-NEXT-STEP. New customers only. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And I'm going to be talking, I'm writing a little piece over on GoPHNX.com about today being a very special anniversary for the Arizona Diamondbacks. 20 years ago today was game one of the Arizona Diamondbacks' only World Series appearance. So I'm going to get a little reminiscent on there and talk about my experiences.
You have the right guest for this.
Yes, we do. And of course, you can read that article once it's up over on GoPHNX by becoming a member, either an annual membership, which will get you a free shirt over on phnxlocker.com, a free shirt of your choosing, or you can sign up to become a monthly member and you will get your first month for just 50 cents in that month-to-month option. So join us. Obviously, you have the t-shirt discounts plus the free t-shirt if you're the annual member. But you also get to be a member of our Discord. Get on there, talk with us about all of our favorite sports memories. Today, we were talking about the best nicknames in D-backs history. So we wanted to hear more about your guys' thoughts on some of the best names, nicknames in D-backs history. But yes, Daryl, I brought you on because I know so much about your time as a D-backs fan, and I know how special this game was to you personally. October 27th, 2001, Bob, Bank One Ballpark, almost 50,000 people in attendance, and the Arizona Diamondbacks absolutely smoked the New York Yankees in game one of their first World Series in a 9-1 victory.
I remember it well. I have a question for you, Derek. Did you happen to get in the paper as a result of just having watched this game?
I did not get in the newspaper by watching this game, no. No, did you, Daryl?
I did.
Ah!
So the story is this. I was going to the U of A. So I was in Tucson, and my brother Eric was visiting. It was like family weekend, and our football team was playing USC, but you know, game one of the World Series. So we tailgated before the football game, showed up, watched the first half, left at halftime, rushed back to my dorm to watch the game. And just right before the game was starting, some college kid walks in. And he's like, "Hey, you guys watching the World Series or something?" And we're like, "Yeah." And he explained that he's doing a thing for the Arizona Republic where they would go to different places throughout Arizona and just sort of describe people. So like one inning, like they had nine different places to represent each inning. And so they would describe what the first inning was like from, you know, the state prison. And the seventh inning was from a U of A dorm room. And I guess what the guy, the reporter, was explaining, he was just, "Yeah, I got this assignment. I was walking around, and outside my dorm room, there were a bunch of signs for a haunted house that our dorm mates were doing. So he just sort of wandered in, and all these people in the lobby were like putting together crafts and watching the football game, watching the USC game. And he just, you know, talks to, I think, my RA or something. And he's like, "Is anybody watching you know, the World Series in this dorm. And the RA just said, oh, go down to Daryl's room. He's always watching the D-backs game. And so it was me, my brother, my college roommate and his girlfriend, and some guy who was doing some a stranger. Thing for the Arizona Republic, describing us watching the game in my dorm room.
That's really weird. Did he did he quote you and such, or was it just a description of what was going on?
As is the case with my brother, who is very much just like an older version of yourself. I think he got the quote because we had the seventh inning, and so, you know, this was just after 9/11, and so George W. Bush made some sort of announcement, you know, before God Bless America or something like that. And then as part of it, part of the article, I think it said something like, and then in a deadpan George W. Bush impersonation, Eric says, "And go D-backs." So that was his quote. Because he said, like, you know, God bless you all, God bless America, and go D-backs is what my brother said.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember. So
he got the good quote.
I remember being stuck at work late and not getting to watch the game, not thinking I was going to get to watch the game, and being very, very upset about it. And then somehow all the cards aligned for me to make it to a bar right in time to...
What were you doing working that late on a Saturday?
Well, I was a veterinary technician at the time. Ooh. And our hospital was actually... open on Saturdays only, not Sundays, but work on Saturdays. And what was worse about it was like a random rotation as to who worked on Saturdays. And I just so happened to draw that particular card. Not to mention, we weren't open that late. It was one of those, you know, it was just one of those nights where, unfortunately, at an animal hospital, you don't necessarily, you know, you can't just decide it's time to close up and go some days. Some days you have, you know, animals there that came in as kind of like an emergency situation. And, you know, we have to stay late. Obviously, we can't just say, hey, it's time for us to close. You need to take your dog and get out of here kind of deal. Right. So, and I remember.
Sorry for the broken leg. We have
to watch. Yeah, you got to go. You got to go. I have stuff to do. So I remember I started watching some of like the pregame stuff in a break room, and then eventually got around to, you know, like I said, making it out just in time. I remember the like little terrible dive bar I arrived to all by myself was like, you know, just, it was just perfect. I had one seat for me. I got my beer. It was great. And then I watched every other game with my girlfriend at her place with her, my now wife, you know, Jen, with her roommates and such. And so like the one thing I just remember was I was really happy. It was the Yankees and the Diamondbacks. The Yankees, I felt, you know, a lot of, not only was I brought up a Yankees fan as a young man because of my, it's an obligation when you're Puerto Rican, you kind of have to root for the Yankees. And so it was, or the Pittsburgh Pirates. That's the two teams you're allowed to root for.
Why the Pirate? Roberto Clemente.
Roberto Clemente, right.
Yeah.
Okay. So I remember like just being like, all right, well, you know, kind of feeling that, like we all did, right? It was a terrible year, and I was feeling that pride for the Yankees, and you know, obviously it was our Diamondbacks, right? So like it was a win-win for me as far as I was concerned. No matter who won the World Series, I was gonna be happy. And then I just remember watching this game and watching Curt Schilling lead us to this ass kicking over the Yankees. And I couldn't believe it. Like at first, I think the game was tied after one inning, you know, like you said, we jumped out to they jumped out to a one run lead, I believe in the first, if I'm not mistaken.
And then, we jumped out. Who was the Yankee starter? Was this Pettit or was this?
I think it was Mike Mussina.
Mussina. That's right. That's right. Yeah. We just jumped on Mussina.
Right. And I remember we like, it seemed surreal after that point when they just started. Cause it was like the next couple of innings were just run after run after run. I mean, looking back at the stats, I'm actually really impressed because almost every D-backs player, hitter, except for Womack and Schilling, had hits. And every player that had a hit had an RBI, except Reggie Sanders. So it was a really, it was like a really well spread out performance, you know, offensively.
Yeah, and I think there were no home runs in the game. Right?
No, I don't think there were. Right? Yeah, it was. And for
same with game six, 15-2, we had no home runs in that game.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was such a decisive win.
If I remember right,
even when you look back at the games the Yankees won, it was games that we blew late because we were in Yankee Stadium and Byung-Hyun Kim, you know, wasn't that guy. I think the whole time we were just anytime they started coming back, it was immediately like, oh shit, here they come, you know, like, and that's, I felt like that was the way the team even felt. Right. But,
I know how Red Sox fans feel because this was before the Red Sox became the villains of the world.
Sure.
And they had just been beaten down for 80 some years.
Yes. And it was like, here come the Yankees, you know, shit, man. Like, I can't believe they're doing this to us. I remember how irate I got, right? So, like, my point being, as a fan that thought I was getting my cake and eating it too by both of these teams being there, I soon found out that I didn't want that New York cake anymore. You know, like, I was so angry about the Diamondbacks blowing it. I think, though, that it was like this win for me in the first game set a very high expectation that the Diamondbacks were going to win the World Series. You know, much like what you were saying about last night after the first run scored, right? It was just such a decisive win that you couldn't convince me otherwise that they weren't going to go on to win. And they did, but it ended up being, you know, obviously
way closer than I'd prefer.
Way closer. And I mean, historically, one of the best World Series that has ever been played.
Yeah. Well, no question. I mean, that World Series, I think, is still top five on most people's lists, just historically. Like, they have, you know, what, 86 is probably up there, 1960 when the Pirates won on a bottom of the ninth home run over the Yankees, that's got to be up there, 1991 with the Twins.
Yeah, that was incredible.
What was it, Jack Morris pitching 10 scoreless innings to win game seven? Like, that's incredible. But 2001 has to be definitely top 10, maybe top five all time, just because, well, and
we'll
just
always feel different about it too, right?
Well, yeah. Well, and it's one of those where the D-backs won their first three games so decisively and the Yankees had to squeak by in their three games that, like, when we were entering the bottom of the ninth, I was just feeling sick, thinking, this is, like, such an injustice.
Yeah, what like, a travesty this is.
We outscored them by a billion runs, and we're going to lose this series.
Yeah. Can we get some aggregate scoring in baseball or something, please? This doesn't seem fair. Yeah. No, I'm with you 100%, man. But at least it ended up going the way it did, and now we can look back and smile. And I just can't believe it was 20 years ago. I can't believe here we are. Yet again, with another strange situation causing us to have a World Series that could possibly spill into November, because we're not going to get to talk about too many World Series games falling on the anniversary of this D-backs Yankees series with everything that happened that year. So it's definitely incredible.
I mean, we very well might, because, you know, 9/11 gave a lot of people excuses to do things they never had before. And, you know, now every Super Bowl is in February.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's
so
true.
The World Series is just pushed back a little later anyway. Just so.
Yeah.
We'll be seeing more November baseball in the future, I'm sure.
Yeah, you're probably right. But there's just so much going on. The most important thing, though, Daryl, is no matter if it's going to end up being a 4-game sweep or a 7-game exciting series, both of these teams want to make sure that they keep both their outfield and infield grass looking trimmed, and they can do that with Manscaped.com. Jump over to Manscaped.com and use our code of PHNX. You'll get 20% off plus free shipping on the perfect package for your package. And I'll say, I like to be crass versus the Cardinals podcast that likes to be a little bit nicer and cleaner about this, but I will just say, I went ahead and used the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer to get around my ears today. And Daryl, I'm going to tell you, did not give me that same level of irritation and potentially cutting myself. It felt kind of nice, actually, that my other clippers do. So, look, If you want to get it just for grooming the beard and the hairline, you could do that too. But remember, it's called Lawnmower 4.0 for a reason.
Now, when you used it to trim around your ears, you had washed the plastic head off.
Sir, yes. I have multiple clips. Yes, there are guards and things you can change. And I absolutely, and you know what? You're right, because it makes it so easy to do that with the Lawnmower 4.0. It just snaps right off, comes off. You can clean it. You can change it out. They send multiple clipper blades as well as guards. So you're all set with that. Trust me. Not to mention, when you open the package, there's a delightful pun on the inside about balls. So, you know, it's great for all around. It's a great experience, but this Halloween, spend spooky season using the best tools for the job over at Manscaped. Again, use our code of PHNX and you'll get 20% off plus free shipping. And also use it over at DraftKings Sportsbook. You can use it on their Sportsbook app where you will get $200 in free bets if you bet $5 on any NFL team to win and they win that game. And Daryl, I alluded to it earlier, but today we talked on the Phoenix Sports Show about the best nicknames in Arizona sports history. And I gave my best nicknames in D-backs history. Obviously, we narrowed it down to one. And my one greatest nickname in D-backs history was obviously the big unit, Randy Johnson.
Yeah, well, I don't know. That's not something that we would really use in conversation. That's more of a broadcaster's newspaper writer sort of nickname.
Okay.
You know, I would just refer to him as Randy or RJ, you know?
Right.
But
it's also sexual innuendo, Daryl. It's also sexual innuendo. It's the complete package. I did it again. Okay. But yeah. What nicknames are you a fan of? I couldn't find that many good ones in D-backs history, to be honest.
Well, that's mostly because in the Bob Brenly era, his way of nicknaming was just giving people's initials.
Yes, yes.
But I'm a fan of Freight Train, of course. Freight
Train's a great nickname, absolutely.
But mine has got to be, well, Gonzo. And secondarily, Gonzo's other nickname was, Mr. Montilla, the Mayor of Bob.
That is right.
Mayor of Bob because, like, he knew the concession stand workers' names.
Yes, he remembered. I'm going to tell you this, and this is a personal story. And I talk about how much I like people just because they're nice to me all the time on this show. As a matter of fact, if you look at the John Mulaney bit about why his wife called him the mayor of nothing, it's the exact same reason why Brian Gregston gave me the nickname of the mayor. It's because I want to be liked so much by everybody. And I will say that Luis Gonzalez not only knew me or knows me when he sees me around Chase Field by name, even if I don't have my press badge on, but one day, that beautiful, beautiful man let me cut in line in front of him at Dutch Brothers. Now, I can't tell you how much that means to me. If you've been following me on Twitter for a while, you probably can guess how much that means to me. But let me tell you, when Gonzo, the man, the hero, the legend, the guy that hit the single in this World Series that we've been talking about, lets me cut in line in front of him like I deserve that in some way, it's preposterous.
He earned the nickname.
He really did.
I would like to briefly expand this to the other sports. I know we're strictly baseball, but sure. Nothing will beat Thunder Dan.
Thunder Dan is such a good name.
Thunder Dan is number one.
We talked today about how a lot of people, because he's remembered for his three-point shooting, people don't remember him just dunking on fools when he was a little bit younger, right? And I mean, that's where that Thunder Dan nickname originally came from. That and them thighs, baby. Them thighs and them little Phoenix Sun shorts. Oh, yeah, man. But it's a absolute great time talking about Arizona sports because I love these teams. So many of the nicknames when we brought them up brought back so many memories from Stat. A lot of my favorite ones were on the Suns personally, just because the Suns always had such great nicknames and they always became like so much more than that.
The Suns have Al McCoy. That's why they have such great nicknames.
Good old Sox and, you know, Charles and all that stuff. I still love the round mound of rebound is still, I love that one. But anyway, and I love you guys. Thank you again so much for joining us. You can follow us on Twitter. I, of course, am at Cap underscore Caveman with a K. You can get Daryl at Zazumplop, that's Zazumplop. But of course, all roads lead to at PHNX underscore sports, and that's on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can also subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting app, as well as on YouTube. You can sign up for notifications. We have so much content. As Daryl's told me, just too much for him to keep up with. And I am not mad about that at all. So if you sign up for your notifications, you'll get too many.
That's my way of telling him, no, I don't listen to the show every day. I can't. It's impossible.
And then I get mad at him and take it personally and just pout for a little while. But yeah, you can get us on all of those things. Of course, if you can, drop us a 5-star review on the podcast reviews. And of course, become a member over at PHNX, become a part of our PHNX family, either with the annual membership option or the month-to-month. So that's all we got, guys. Happy platinum anniversary to the Arizona Diamondbacks Game 1 victory.
Platinum?
It's platinum.
20th is platinum?
Okay. According to the internet, I don't know. I looked it up, but it's the modern day. The traditional one was China.
The original one. That makes more sense because platinum is more valuable than gold or silver. Yeah. I thought platinum would be like 60 years or something.
Yeah, no, modern day people have no idea how to rank this stuff. They just throw stuff out there. It's platinum. We made it to 20. So, I mean, that's probably the
greatest stay classic, China.
Yeah, we'll go China. All right, porcelain. China. It's the China.
Porcelain anniversary.
Porcelain anniversary. But we thank you guys again so much for watching. And Daryl, remember, kids. Baseball's fun, but it's so much more fun when you bet on it.
Remember, kids, you stole my gimmick.